Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
But right now, an old friend of WMAL, former morning show host and writer and CNN commentator, Mary Catherine Hamm. Good morning, Mary. I'm actually a little embarrassed that it's been so long since we've had you on that I have to say congratulations on your newborn.
Oh, thank you very much. She's upstairs, hopefully peacefully sleeping the entire time we do this interview.
Well, good. We'll try to keep it quiet if possible. Listen, you wrote such an important article here at The Atlantic with a headline, Kids Shouldn't Have to Be Resilient. Thank you. I've been waiting for somebody. I don't know why I didn't do this, but we keep hearing this for 2 years now in COVID as we've asked our children to make sacrifices for the health of the elderly. We're told that, oh, don't worry, kids are resilient. Please explore this.
Right. Look, I don't want to be flip about this, but everybody who tells me kids are resilient without really thinking about it has been trying to heal their inner child for like 25 years. So I would implore those people to think about whether their children might have an inner child that might respond to some of this later. And I think the question is, like you said, are our children forever going to be a bulwark against infecting older people, especially now that we have widely and freely available vaccines, or should we pare back how we have pared down their lives? And I just think that the calculation has been so wrong for so long, and that we shouldn't depend on them to be resilient. Saying that they're resilient, which they are, they're very adaptable. Children are amazing in this way. But it's also an admission that you're doing something that they have to overcome. So yeah. If we don't have to do those things, we shouldn't do them. Yeah. So yeah. That's what I'm asking. And I think a lot of people in the media is very guilty of this, of ginning up fear for children in particular who are very, very, very low risk for actual illness, serious illness from this disease. It doesn't mean that all of them are, but most of them are. And so many parents, I think, have overestimated the risk to their kids with great harm to their kids because so many other things end up being taken away from them.
Yeah, and I think we've learned, Mary Catherine, as well, that kids are resilient in a lot of ways, but in other ways, not so much. For example, there's so much research now on the effect that masking kids for 8 hours a day has on their ability to socialize, on their ability to form speech patterns, and all of these other really important aspects of development that some parents are saying, you know, years later, they're still dealing with the consequences of those choices.
Right. Yeah, I think this is like the common sense part of this, right? We look at our children and we go, I don't know, maybe not seeing people's half of a face for 2 years does matter. And that seems like pretty reasonable expectation. And
yeah,
yet
right.
many school boards around here will just dismiss that entirely and tell you, oh, it's no big deal. But there are studies that show that at 8 months old, kids start reading lips to try and acquire English language. Kids who are learning English as a second language, of course, need to see people's mouths form sounds. This is pretty understandable stuff, and yet it's dismissed out of hand. And that's the thing that bugs me. Like, we can have a discussion about how much this is effective and how much it's hurting kids, but we never have that discussion, especially in Northern Virginia, right?
Yeah.
We just
You're so right.
Oh, no, universal masking, and we're done.
Yeah, and the outright dismissal of anyone who dares to question that and challenge that, or let alone defy it, is like, oh, you're killing people. You're killing me, and you're killing my parents, and you're probably killing your children. And it's a know-nothing response. I also, you point out something, I'm going to read your own words back to you, which is always uncomfortable, I know. But we talk about the psychological aspects of having to wear the mask and not being, remember the videos where kids, you know, saw their friends and hugged for the first time in a year, those things
yeah.
that are supposed to be heartwarming and they're actually heartbreaking. But you also talk about this. Let me read it. Most children are neither in grave danger nor do they pose a grave danger to others, especially now the vaccines are widely freely available. But we routinely treat them as if they were. This is one of those, it's almost like the way we're treating our children and what our children pick up from us, and children pick up everything from us, is this subtext of constant danger that can't be healthy for a young child.
Yeah, I joke that I sent my little disease vectors off to school unmasked the other day. We should not treat them like that when they aren't. it was understandable in March 2020 to make some drastic calls and say, like, okay, for the safety of everyone, out of an abundance of caution, let's do this, right? We know more now. We know that children are not at great risk, and we know that they actually are, you know, not at great risk to other, they're not a great risk to other people, and yet we treat them like a pestilence in so many cases, and they understand that, and they, I think they do carry a lot of anxiety when their parents are not standing in the breach for them, and that is what I'm asking people to do. I think it's so important to not to ask them to be resilient, but to be resilient for them. There's, I don't know if you're watching Station 11, which is a HBO Max show about a flu-caused apocalypse. So, you know, appropriate for the moment, right? There's a moment in there. There's a moment in there when two brothers are talking to each other because they have to take care of a nine-year-old, and the two brothers are talking to each other and saying, "Well, what do we do now? Well, the world's ending." And one of them says, "Well, we're adults. We pretend we're not scared." And they're doing that for the child, and that is how you should operate. You should not put your anxieties on the child. Like, and I wrote about this too. This is my biography. A lot of listeners of WMAL probably remember this, but my husband died in 2015 in a bike wreck, and I was primed to see threats to my family everywhere, right? That a traumatic event will do that to you. For many people, this period of time has been a traumatic event, but you have to talk yourself through the adrenaline response to threats in life and get to the rational part. And if you don't, your children will pay the price.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I was actually hit by a car during the pandemic. And so I often tell people, you're more likely as a young, healthy person to get hit by a car than to die from COVID. In my case, it's literally what happened. And, you know, even crossing the street for like a year after that was a pretty terrifying experience. But it's not like I'm going to never cross the street again, right? You put your big girl panties on, so to speak, and you get over it.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, it really is important to talk yourself through those things. And like I said, there's so much media blame on this, particularly with exaggerating the threat to children. I think Sonia Sotomayor is the perfect example of how in elite circles, it's just normal to believe that there are hundreds of thousands of children in hospitals, possibly on ventilators with COVID, when that's just not the case. And so we shouldn't treat children like it's the case. And we shouldn't make a bunch of parents scared that that's the case. It's wrong.
It's not a kid's job to be resilient. It's a parent's job to be resilient for them, to spare them from our fears and worries. The longer we abdicate, the more damage we will do. The words of Mary Catherine Hammond, The Atlantic. Great stuff. You know a little bit about resiliency, as you alluded there, and so do your kids. And I appreciate you sharing this with us. Now, just be careful. You're at CNN. You know they're going to send the K file after you to fact check you on all of this stuff. You know how ugly that gets.
No, I was fact-checked on this one, a pre-publication. We're good to go.
All right. Good. Thank you, Mary Catherine. Don't be a stranger. It's been too long.
Oh, my gosh. So nice to be back. Talk to you guys soon.
Thank you. It's 7:50.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit. And you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival. Featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.